This July 4th at Lowe's, get up to 45% off select major appliances. Plus, save $80 on a select Charbroil Performance Series gas grill. Now $299. Our best lineup is here at Lowe's. Lowe's, we help you save. Valid through 7/8. While supplies last, selection varies by location. See Lowe's.com for more details.
Visit your nearby Lowe's on Silver Drive in Columbus.
Bubba Wallace here from 2311 Racing. You know what's slower than a pace car? Waiting at the car wash. That's when I fire up Chumba Casino. It turns those slow minutes into fast fun. With new games every week, you'll never get bored. Next time you're stuck in the slow lane, speed up with Chumba. Play now at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Find the one and save big this summer during Haverty's July 4th sale. Right now, everything is on sale from sofas, sectionals, bedroom furniture, and more. Come find your style and celebrate at Haverty's. Online or in Columbus at Polaris.
Bubba Wallace here from 2311 Racing. You know what's slower than a pace car? Waiting at the car wash. That's when I fire up Chumba Casino. It turns those slow minutes into fast fun. With new games every week, you'll never get bored. Next time you're stuck in the slow lane, speed up with Chumba. Play now at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Midnight has passed, and in the stillness of these hours, the hauntings are never silent. This is Real Ghost Stories Online. After midnight.
By the time he was old enough to help set up lawn chairs for the 4th of July parade, he had already heard the story dozens of times. Every small town has its local legends. Some involve haunted houses, others revolve around old cemeteries, abandoned buildings, or mysterious disappearances. In his town, the story belonged to a woman who supposedly appeared along the parade route every Independence Day. Nobody knew exactly who she was. More importantly, nobody could agree on whether she had ever existed at all. The legend had been around for as long as anyone could remember. His grandfather claimed he first heard it as a child in the 1940s. His mother remembered hearing the same story while growing up in the 1970s. Every generation seemed to inherit it from the one before. The details changed depending on who was telling it, but the basic idea remained the same. Somewhere along Main Street, usually near the courthouse square where the parade made its turn, people occasionally reported seeing a woman who didn't quite belong. When he was younger, he loved hearing the different versions. According to one story, she had been a young woman whose fiancé never returned from war. Every year, she supposedly waited along the parade route hoping to see him marching home with the veterans. Another version claimed she had been killed during a 4th of July celebration sometime in the early 1900s when a runaway horse bolted through the crowd. One elderly resident insisted she died in a fire at a house that once stood near the courthouse. Someone else swore she had simply been a beloved member of the community who attended every parade for decades before passing away, and the sightings began afterward. The contradictions never seemed to bother anyone, if anything. They made the story more interesting. The older he got, the less seriously he took it. By high school, he viewed it the same way most local kids did. It was part of the town's identity, a story people told because it had always been told. Visitors asked about it occasionally. Older residents shared their favorite versions. The legend drifted through conversations every July before disappearing again for the rest of the year. Like most folklore, it felt larger than any actual evidence supporting it. After college, he moved back to town and eventually started volunteering with the parade committee. What began as a favor for a friend turned into an annual tradition. Every year, he helped place barricades, organize staging areas, direct participants, and assist with cleanup afterward. The work started before sunrise and often continued well after the last float rolled down Main Street. One thing never changed. Every 4th of July, somebody brought up the woman. Usually it happened during setup. Volunteers standing around drinking coffee would begin sharing stories while waiting for instructions. Someone would mention seeing her years earlier. Another person would claim a relative had seen her. The conversation always followed the same pattern. Nobody had definitive proof. Nobody could agree on the details. Yet everyone seemed familiar with the legend. He mostly ignored it. For nearly 10 years, the story remained nothing more than background noise. Then one year, something happened that caught his attention. He arrived before sunrise to help place barricades near the courthouse square. The streets were still mostly empty, and the sky had only begun to lighten along the horizon. A few volunteers were unloading equipment farther down the block, but otherwise Main Street sat quiet and still. As he carried a barricade toward the corner, he noticed someone already sitting along the parade route. At first, he didn't think much about it. People claimed good viewing spots early every year. The woman sat alone in a folding chair near the curb. She appeared to be elderly, though it was difficult to judge her age from a distance. Her gray hair was pinned neatly back, and she wore a simple, light-colored dress that seemed oddly formal for a small-town parade. A purse rested in her lap. She wasn't reading or looking at her phone. She simply sat there watching the street as if waiting for something. As he passed, he nodded politely. The woman smiled and nodded back. That was the entire interaction. A few hours later, after the parade began, he found himself near the same section of Main Street and glanced toward the chair out of curiosity. The woman was gone. He didn't think about it again until the following year. Once again, he arrived before sunrise. Once again, volunteers were setting up barricades near the courthouse square. And once again, he noticed an older woman sitting in a folding chair near the curb. The sight stopped him for a moment. The chair appeared to be in exactly the same location. The woman looked remarkably familiar, the same neatly pinned gray hair, the same light-colored dress, the same calm expression. For a few seconds, he wondered whether she was simply a longtime resident with a favorite viewing spot. That explanation made perfect sense. Small-town traditions often involve the same people showing up in the same places year after year. Still, something about the encounter stayed with him. As he walked past, the woman smiled. He smiled back. Then he continued working. Later that afternoon, while helping collect trash after the parade ended, he mentioned her to another volunteer. He casually asked whether the older woman near the courthouse always arrived that early. The volunteer looked confused. "What woman?" He described her as best he could. Gray hair, folding chair, sitting near the corner before sunrise. The volunteer shrugged and he hadn't seen anyone. The exchange lasted only a few seconds and he quickly forgot about it. The other volunteer had probably been busy. It wasn't unusual for people to miss things during setup. Yet as he drove home that evening, he found himself thinking about the woman again. Not because she seemed paranormal, because she seemed familiar. The feeling lingered over the next year. Life continued normally, yet every so often, he found himself remembering the woman sitting quietly in her chair before sunrise while the town prepared for another 4th of July celebration. Then the following summer arrived, and for the third year in a row, she was waiting for the parade before anyone else. The third sighting should have felt ordinary. After all, there was nothing particularly strange about seeing the same person at an annual event. Small towns were built on routines. The same families claimed the same spots along the parade route every year. The same veterans rode on the same floats. The same volunteers showed up before sunrise to help with setup. If the woman enjoyed watching the parade from the courthouse corner, there was no reason she wouldn't return. Yet something about it continued to bother him. Part of the problem was how little he knew about her. He had lived in town his entire life and recognized most longtime residents by sight, even if he couldn't always remember their names. The woman, however, seemed oddly disconnected from the rest of the community. He never saw her talking with anyone. Nobody appeared to arrive with her. Nobody saved her a seat. She simply appeared before the parade and was gone by the time the celebration ended. That year, he found himself paying closer attention. As he carried barricades into position and helped organize the staging areas, he glanced toward the courthouse corner more often than he cared to admit. The woman sat quietly in the same folding chair he remembered from previous years. She seemed perfectly content watching the preparations unfold around her. At one point, as he walked past, she smiled and wished him a happy 4th of July. The interaction lasted only a few seconds, but it stayed with him. What struck him afterward was how normal it felt. Her voice sounded ordinary. Her smile felt genuine. Nothing about the encounter suggested a ghost story. If anything, she seemed exactly like the sort of older resident who had attended the parade for decades and simply enjoyed arriving early to watch the town wake up. Later that afternoon, while helping clean up after the parade, he mentioned her again. This time he described her to several volunteers instead of just one. The responses were mixed. One person thought she sounded vaguely familiar. Another said he might be talking about a woman who used to live near the courthouse years ago. A third insisted he had never seen anyone matching that description. Before long, the conversation drifted elsewhere, but the uncertainty lingered. The following week, he stopped by the local historical society. The visit wasn't part of some serious investigation. He happened to know one of the volunteers there, and while dropping off a donation, he casually mentioned the old 4th of July legend. The woman immediately laughed and told him everyone in town knew that story. What surprised him was how many versions she had heard over the years. According to various records and local accounts, references to the woman stretched back decades. Newspaper articles occasionally mentioned the legend. Community newsletters sometimes referenced it. Oral histories collected from longtime residents included scattered stories as well. The details changed depending on who was telling them. Some described a young woman waiting for a fiancé who never returned from war. Others connected her to a tragic accident during an early Independence Day celebration. One version claimed she belonged to a prominent local family. Another insisted she had never existed at all and was simply a piece of folklore that grew with each generation. The Historical Society volunteer eventually disappeared into a back room and returned carrying a box of old parade photographs. Together, they spent nearly an hour sorting through images from different decades. Floats rolled down dusty streets, marching bands posed for cameras. Children waved flags from sidewalks crowded with spectators. Most of the photographs were exactly what he expected to find. Then one of them caught his attention. Near the edge of a photograph taken sometime during the 1950s sat an older woman in a folding chair. The image wasn't especially clear. Her face appeared slightly blurred, and much of the picture focused on the parade itself. Still, something about her looked familiar. The hairstyle reminded him of the woman he had seen. So did the posture. Even the location appeared to match the spot near the courthouse corner. He studied the photograph for several seconds before handing it back. The volunteer immediately noticed his reaction. Without any prompting, she smiled and told him he wasn't the first person to point out the woman in that photograph. Apparently, several residents over the years had noticed her while looking through the archives. Nobody had ever managed to identify her with certainty. The comment should have amused him, and instead, it left him feeling uneasy. Over the next year, he paid more attention whenever the topic surfaced around town. The more people he spoke with, the more complicated the story became. Some residents claimed they had seen the woman themselves. Others knew relatives who swore they had encountered her. A few dismissed the entire thing as harmless folklore. Yet almost everyone seemed familiar with the legend. What fascinated him most was how consistent certain details remained. The sightings almost always occurred during the 4th of July celebration. The woman almost always appeared near the courthouse square, and nearly everyone described her the same way. Pleasant, calm, and completely unremarkable. There were no stories about terrifying encounters, no warnings, no dramatic disappearances, just brief interactions that left people wondering who she was. By the following summer, he had almost convinced himself there was a perfectly reasonable explanation. Perhaps she had been a real resident whose identity gradually became tangled up with local folklore. Maybe generations of people had seen different women sitting in the same location and unknowingly blended those memories together into a single story. The explanation made sense, at least it did, until the morning of the next parade. As usual, he arrived before sunrise to help with setup. The streets were nearly empty, and only a handful of volunteers had arrived. As he unloaded equipment from his truck, he automatically glanced toward the courthouse corner. The chair was already there. So was the woman. For several moments, he simply watched her. She sat exactly where she always sat, calmly observing the quiet preparations before the crowds arrived. Nothing about the scene seemed unusual. Then he walked past her. The woman smiled and greeted him by name. The words stopped him immediately. He knew with absolute certainty they had never been formally introduced. In fact, he wasn't even sure they had exchanged more than a few sentences over the years. Yet she smiled as though they had known each other for a long time. Then she thanked him for helping with the parade. The comment itself seemed harmless. What bothered him was how naturally she said it. As he continued down the street carrying equipment, he found himself replaying the interaction again and again. For the first time since he began seeing her, he found himself genuinely wanting answers. And before that 4th of July was over, he would discover something that made the old folklore story much harder to dismiss. The woman greeting him by name should not have bothered him as much as it did. There were plenty of reasonable explanations. Small towns aren't anonymous places. People learn names without formal introductions. She could have overheard someone speaking to him during a previous parade. She could have known his parents or grandparents. The more he thought about it, the more explanations he found. Yet none of them fully satisfied him. For the rest of the morning, he found himself glancing toward the courthouse corner whenever he passed through the area. Each time, the woman remained exactly where she always was. She sat quietly in her folding chair, watching the town prepare for another 4th of July celebration. Occasionally, people passed in front of her. Occasionally, volunteers stopped nearby to talk. Yet nobody seemed to pay much attention to her. By the time the parade actually began, he had convinced himself he was overthinking the entire situation. Then he saw her again. The sight caught his attention because it made no sense. Less than 10 minutes earlier, he had seen her sitting in the chair near the courthouse. Now she appeared to be somewhere else entirely. At first, he assumed he was looking at a different person. The parade continued moving, and before he could get a better look, the crowd shifted and blocked his view. When he eventually made his way back toward the courthouse, the folding chair remained in its usual location. But it was empty. The woman was gone. That wasn't especially unusual. The parade had already started and spectators came and went throughout the morning. Still, he found himself searching the crowd for the rest of the event. He never saw her again. Later that afternoon, after most of the visitors had gone home, he stopped by the Historical Society building. The volunteer he knew happened to be working that day, and he found himself asking a question he never expected to ask. Had anyone ever identified the woman in the photographs? The volunteer shook her head and then shared something interesting. Several years earlier, an elderly resident had donated a collection of parade photographs spanning nearly 4 decades. While organizing the images, volunteers noticed what appeared to be the same woman appearing in multiple photographs taken years apart. The pictures weren't identical. The clothing varied slightly. The angles were different. Yet the woman always seemed to be sitting near the same section of the parade route. Nobody knew who she was. More importantly, nobody had ever found records placing a resident matching her description in that location year after year. The volunteer laughed as she told the story, explaining that the photographs were one of the reasons the legend refused to disappear. Before leaving, he asked if the Historical Society still had the collection. They did. Together, they spent the next hour looking through old photographs. Some dated back to the 1940s. Others came from the 1960s, 70s, and 80s. Most showed exactly what he expected. Floats, marching bands, politicians, beauty queens, and crowds lining Main Street. Then he started noticing her. Not in every photograph. There she was near the courthouse corner. There she was sitting in a folding chair. There she was watching the parade. The strangest part wasn't that she appeared repeatedly. The strangest part was that she never seemed to change. The hairstyle remained remarkably similar. The clothing always appeared slightly old-fashioned, though appropriate for whatever decade the photograph came from. And she never seemed noticeably older or younger. The photographs left him with an uncomfortable feeling he couldn't quite explain. For the next year, he thought about the woman more often than he intended to. Not obsessively, but enough that the story remained somewhere in the back of his mind. Every now and then, he found himself wondering whether he would see her again when the next 4th of July arrived. When when it finally did, he discovered he wasn't the only person paying attention. Shortly after sunrise, another volunteer approached him during setup and casually asked whether he had seen the woman yet. The question immediately got his attention. When he asked what woman, the volunteer simply pointed toward the courthouse corner. The chair was already there. So was the woman. For several moments, neither man said anything. Then the volunteer smiled and explained that his grandmother used to tell stories about her. According to family lore, she had been seeing the woman since she was a little girl. The volunteer admitted he never believed those stories until he started helping with the parade himself. Now he wasn't so sure. Conversation stayed with him for the rest of the day. What struck him wasn't the sighting itself, it was the realization that people from completely different generations seemed to share the same experience. Nobody could explain who the woman was. Nobody could prove she was anything paranormal. Yet every few years, someone quietly added another story to the legend. As the afternoon drew to a close, he found himself walking toward the courthouse one final time. Most of the crowd had already dispersed. Volunteers were beginning to collect trash and remove barricades. The celebration was winding down, but the woman remained in her chair. For the first time, he decided to speak with her. He walked across the street and stopped beside the curb. The woman looked up and smiled. He asked whether she enjoyed the parade, and she told him she always had. The answer seemed oddly perfect. Before he could think of another question, she looked toward Main Street, where volunteers were beginning to dismantle the final staging area. Then she said something he would remember for the rest of his life. She told him the town always did a wonderful job. Not this year. Always. The wording struck him immediately because it sounded less like a compliment and more like the observation of someone who had watched the celebration for a very long time. Before he could respond, someone called his name from across the street. He turned for only a second to answer. When he looked back, the chair was empty. The woman was gone. He searched the surrounding area for several minutes. There were still people nearby, and there was no practical reason she couldn't have simply walked away. Yet he never found her. More surprisingly, nobody else seemed to remember seeing her leave. Years have passed since that afternoon. The parade still follows the same route. Families still place lawn chairs along Main Street. Volunteers still arrive before sunrise to help with setup. And every 4th of July, sooner or later, someone brings up the story of the woman near the courthouse. He no longer argues about whether the legend is true. He doesn't claim to know who she was. He doesn't claim she was a ghost. What he knows is much simpler. For several years, he watched the same woman appear at the same parade in the same location. He found photographs suggesting other people may have seen her decades earlier. He spoke with residents whose grandparents remembered the same stories. And one 4th of July afternoon, he had a conversation with a woman who seemed to know the parade as though she had been watching it for a very long time. But maybe there is a perfectly reasonable explanation. Maybe there isn't. Either way, when he arrives before sunrise each 4th of July, he still finds himself looking toward the courthouse corner just to see whether the chair is already there.
Want more real ghost stories? Then press subscribe now so you don't miss any of the multiple new ghost stories we drop for you every day. Only here at Real Ghost Stories Online.
Find the one and save big this summer during Haverty's July 4th sale. Right now, everything is on sale from sofas, sectionals, bedroom furniture, and more. Come find your style and celebrate at Haverty's, online or in Columbus at Polaris.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory Lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Find the one and save big this summer during Haverty's July 4th sale. Right now, everything is on sale from sofas, sectionals, bedroom furniture, and more. Come find your style and celebrate at Haverty's, online or in Columbus at Polaris.
Bubba Wallace here from 2311 Racing. On the track, my car's look is everything. But today, I'm talking about more than just paint schemes. I'm talking about my favorite games at Chumba Casino. Check out exclusives like Stampede Fury and my own King Croc Fury. It's just as wild as my car looked in Texas. With over 200 games and new ones weekly, play for free at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Find the one and save big this summer during Haverty's July 4th sale. Right now, everything is on sale from sofas, sectionals, bedroom furniture, and more. Come find your style and celebrate at Haverty's. Online or in Columbus at Polaris.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory Lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See TNCs. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Find the one and save big this summer during Haverty's July 4th sale. Right now, everything is on sale from sofas, sectionals, bedroom furniture, and more. Come find your style and celebrate at Haverty's. Online or in Columbus at Polaris.
Hey, it's Ryan Seacrest here, and I have discovered a fun new escape from the daily grind, Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has hundreds of social casino-style games and it's all free to play anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. So get to ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.
Find the one and save big this summer during Haverty's July 4th sale. Right now, everything is on sale from sofas, sectionals, bedroom furniture, and more. Come find your style and celebrate at Haverty's. Online or in Columbus at Polaris.
Hey, it's Ryan Seacrest here, and if you're looking for some serious fun, head over to ChumbaCasino.com. At Chumba Casino, you can play all your favorite social casino-style games for free anytime, anywhere. It's the most fun you can have on your phone or computer.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.
Find the one and save big this summer during Haverty's July 4th sale. Right now, everything is on sale from sofas, sectionals, bedroom furniture, and more. Come find your style and celebrate at Haverty's. Online or in Columbus at Polaris.
Hey, it's Bubba Wallace from 2311 Racing. You know what it feels like forever?
Coming crew.
Sitting on a plane waiting for takeoff. Good thing I've got Chumba Casino. With daily boosts and social casino games on tap, this is the kind of fun that makes time fly. Why not turbocharge your downtime? Play now at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Find the one and save big this summer during Haverty's July 4th sale. Right now, everything is on sale from sofas, sectionals, bedroom furniture, and more. Come find your style and celebrate at Haverty's. Online or in Columbus at Polaris.
Hey guys, it's Ryan. I want to tell you about my new pastime, Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has been around for over a decade, delivering the most fun you can have online. Play social casino-style games for free anytime, anywhere. So sign up at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.
Find the one and save big this summer during Haverty's July 4th sale. Right now, everything is on sale from sofas, sectionals, bedroom furniture, and more. Come find your style and celebrate at Haverty's. Online or in Columbus at Polaris.
Hey guys, it's Ryan. I want to tell you about my new pastime, Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has been around for over a decade, delivering the most fun you can have online. Play social casino-style games for free anytime, anywhere. So sign up at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.
This is Lele Pons from Suite 305 with Lele Pons. Game day at my house? It's chaos. But like in a fun way. The TV's ready, the remotes are ready, the kids' stores are going off, and somehow everybody needs batteries at the exact same time. That's why I keep Duracell stocked. And Duracell just released limited edition Duracell and Messi battery packs. The design is inspired by Messi's iconic left leg tattoo. So every battery feels like it comes with an extra kick. From the TV remote to automatic corkscrew, Duracell keeps us game day ready. Duracell double and triple A batteries are the only ones built different with power boost ingredients for long-lasting performance you can trust. Find the limited edition Duracell and Messi batteries in stores at Lowe's and Walmart or on Amazon.
It's called soccer.
It's called football.
Soccer.
Football.
Domino's best deal ever lets you get any pizza, including stuffed crust, with any toppings for $9.99.
Okay, we can agree on that.
Yeah, fully.
So, pineapple?
Don't ruin it.
Get any pizza, including stuffed crust, with any toppings for $9.99. Finally, something everyone can get behind.
And if the rest disagree, that's between them and Domino's. Which means the only thing left to fight over is who's ordering.
Domino's.
Prices higher for some locations. Excludes XL and specialty pizzas. Select this offer from 6:15 to 7:26. Online only. Size availability varies by crust type. Max 7 toppings. 6 for pan and New York style crust. Minimum purchase required for delivery. Prices, participation, delivery area, and charges may vary.